Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
Why do you say my father doesn't like to work?
Look at the house he's building. He has scarcely begun it. And your father and my father started the houses at the same time. Now, look at our house. It is more than half done.
It is, isn't it? I mean, there may be some reason, because I know my father's not lazy or slow in his work. I think I'll ask him.
May I go along?
Sure, come on. Father.
Oh, hello, dear. Hello, Miriam.
I want to ask you something, Father. You and Miriam's father, you're both building houses, and you started about the same time.
Well, I started one day before he did.
Look at his house. It's about half done. But your house, look at it. It doesn't look like you've hardly started building it.
But to answer your puzzlement, my child, may I simply say that your father, Miriam, and I are building our houses differently, that's all.
How different, Father?
Well, before I began building the house, I dug down through the sand until I got to rock. Now I'm chipping the rock to get a level, smooth, and solid foundation. And I'll begin actually building the house.
How's my father building our house?
Well, Miriam, each person has his own ideas and personalities. Your father and I are different. He's building his house his way, and I'm building our house my way.
I'm going to ask my father. Want to go too, Gail? Father, I want to ask you a question.
Yeah, what is it?
Why are you building our house so much faster than Gail's father is?
Yeah, well, I guess I'm just a faster worker, that's all.
Gail's father said it was because you're building differently.
Differently? How?
He said he dug down to rock and is going to build his house on the rock so that the house will have a solid foundation.
Yeah.
What are you building our house on, Father?
A solid foundation.
What?
Sand. Solid sand. Oh, I know your father, Gail, doesn't think sand is solid, but it is, here. He thinks the sand will shift, blow away, and let the house topple over. I know better. This sand is solid, and it will not shift or blow away. My house will be just as safe and solid as his house. And look at the time I'm saving.
This is a terrible storm. It's going to get worse.
Are we safe in such a storm?
Perfectly. The house is built on solid rock. It can't be moved.
Good.
Faith is the same way. It can't be moved if it's built on the solid rock of truth.
How about Miriam's house?
Let's hope and pray they're safe.
Yeah.
Our house blew down.
What? It was terrible.
I heard the rain. There was a flood. It tore at the sand and the... And the wind was terrific and strong. The walls fell down. I guess you were right, Samuel. Shortcuts don't pay. Faith, as well as houses, must be built on solid foundations, or they will topple over.
Just as there are set stages for building a satisfactory house to withstand all types of weather, there are also steps that need to be taken when building a successful ministry for the Lord. Sometimes God takes the most unlikely candidate from an ungodly background and works in that person's life until he becomes a believer in the Lord Jesus. From here, God equips that person to lead a chosen ministry. In 1837, in China, a fourth boy was born into an educated family. He was called Si after his family. From an early age, the child had his own secret thoughts and questions about death and dying, but he shared these with no one. He grew up and did well with his education and took his place in society as a learned man. His study of Chinese classics, while stimulating the intellectual side of his nature, fell short of bringing him inner peace. A continued conflict in C's soul began to affect his health. When friends suggested that an occasional use of the opium pipe could do no harm and might bring relief, he decided to try it. Alas, like all addictive drugs, the temporary high was followed by a deeper depression of spirit than C had ever suffered before. The drug had begun its dreadful work, and C was soon an addict, resorting to opium time and again, until he was reduced to only a shadow of his former self. Later, in 1877, a terrible famine hit C's province, and three-quarters of that population died within the following 3 years before it ended. In the middle of this time of distress, two foreigners arrived in a city some 10 miles away. It was rumoured that they brought with them a new religion. They were helping the people with food and money, as well as seed for planting when the rains came again. The two foreigners ran a competition with money prizes for the people to write essays on such subjects as prayer, opium, images of the gods, and how to rectify one's heart and life. Accompanying this opportunity was a packet of Christian books and tracts that each person was to study before writing their essay. C didn't want to become involved in foreign matters, yet he was quite curious. His family urged him to have a go at the essay, as the amount of money being offered by the foreigners was quite generous. C wrote 4 different essays under different names and won 3 prizes for them. He was invited to become a Chinese classics tutor for one of the foreigners. C happily accepted this position and moved to the city. In his new room, there was a New Testament, which he read and pondered for hours, all the while smoking his opium pipe. One day, as he was reading the story of the crucifixion, the power of the cross melted C's proud heart. He fell on his knees, with the book before him, weeping as he read. The love of the Saviour poured into his weary soul, and his search for peace finally ended. It wasn't long, however, before C found he had an almost overpowering desire for opium. For a week he experienced agony, but none of the normal medicine helped at all. Prayer, without ceasing, was offered in his behalf. When the struggle was most critical, the addict cried out, "Though I die, I will never touch opium again." In a fairly quiet interval, he picked up the New Testament, opening it to several verses about the Comforter, God's Holy Spirit. Suddenly, it was revealed to him that the Holy Spirit could enable him to conquer his conflict. Then and there he cast himself upon God, and instantly the calm of heaven came down upon his pain-racked body and into his struggling soul. C said later of that blessed Spirit, "He did what man and medicine could not. From that moment my body was perfectly at rest. Then I knew that to break off opium without faith in Jesus would indeed be impossible." As C continued to read the scriptures with enlightened spiritual vision, he found that the Holy Spirit was promised by Jesus as an abiding indweller. He learned that there was a baptism of the Holy Spirit needed by every believer. C's experience of being delivered from opium only now increased his longing for a total divine fullness with God that could be his. Along with the abundant grace given to him came an intense longing to spread the same blessing with men near and far. He became distinctly conscious that he was commissioned by God to do this very thing. C returned to his home and destroyed all the idols there. This Chinese servant of God quickly learned that prayer alone could see victory over Satan. C's life showed the price he willingly paid for knowing a life of prayer, and this is a challenge to all of us. He said, "On account of many onslaughts of Satan, my wife and I, for the space of 3 years, seldom put off our clothing to go to sleep, in order that we might be more ready to watch and pray." C saw that the widespread use of opium in his province required earnest and intense effort if enslaved addicts were to be rescued. His first attempt to help some was in a small town 5 miles from his home. He and his wife rented a shop and stocked it with medicines, of which he had some knowledge. For 20 years, the system C set up in this place became a pattern for a further 50 or so other refuges to open their doors to help unhappy users of opium. In each refuge, hundreds of people were treated with pills that C learnt to make himself using a secret formula that was revealed to him by God. But only those addicts who were willing to make prayer a major factor in their treatment were admitted and treated. Making the pills was preceded by fasting and prayer. C would fast for an entire day when preparing a fresh quantity. His battle to develop his most effective evangelistic opium refuge project met with opposition and criticism. So strongly was C urged by other missionaries to give up his work, that in humility and deference to a senior brother, he almost yielded. See himself went before the Lord with a great burden on his heart. He cried, Lord, have I grieved thee? Show me the reason for this distress. The answer came. C was to help some other ladies who at great personal sacrifice were also doing this same type of work. Instead of stopping, C was to ignore the criticism and resist Satan's attacks with God's spiritual weapons. C became a man of God, and he literally went about his work in the strength of God, rather than his own. At times he became conscious of great fatigue and weakness. These times became the call to much prayer and fasting, for it was in this way that C knew some immediate, perplexing problem needed to be prayed through. Always, when the will of God was gained or the problem resolved, the unusual energy from above was regained and C's work resumed. At one point, C accepted a large donation of money just after he had cast a tormenting demon out of a man. The demon returned, claiming that C had no power over him any longer. Returning the gift, C confessed that the sudden possession of so large a sum had come between him and God. After prayer, he ordered the demon to go, and it obeyed. This experience was a lasting lesson to him, as well as to all the witnesses present at that time. The refuges C had set up to treat opium addicts didn't all prosper. Some were satisfactory from the outset, financially and otherwise. However, some could never be made to succeed. Either few patients came, or the men in charge proved unsuitable. But trying as the circumstances might have been, C felt he had no right to go back on the steps that he had taken in faith. He would say, I was led of God to open that refuge. I am simply his servant. He's responsible. How dare I venture without orders to close my master's business? So he would go on for years, subsidizing the work rather than taking matters into his own hands to close unsuccessful refuges and find a way out of such difficulties. He never seemed guided by the Lord to close a refuge down. Only once he opened a refuge without waiting on God first in prayer. After giving permission to a manager to open a refuge some distance away, C felt a little uneasy. He prayed over the matter, but it was then too late to get the guidance that should have been sought before. At first, things in the new refuge went well. Then reports came of problems with the premises and the manager going into debt without any intention of paying. The manager was found to be going progressively insane. Representatives for C had to spend time and waste money settling accounts with the local people before this particular refuge could be closed down. But the episode brought a bad name to those claiming that the Lord Jesus was the Son of the Most High God. C had many opportunities to prove the faithfulness of God in supplying his needs. Far from growing rich, he often was hard put to supply the needs of his own household. On top, his missionary training department costs increased each year. C sold his personal possessions to make up the shortfalls. Sometimes drought and shortness of food crops reduced the number of paying patients in the refuges. But God always opened a way for him, and he never went into debt. In their senior years, C and his wife travelled around China visiting refuges. They went separately so that Mrs. C could manage the women's refuges. How God had changed C from his young days. His ideals were no longer to override others, but to bear their burdens, not to rule, but to serve. But his time of earthly service came to an end in 1896, when he passed into the presence of the Lord. C was an outstanding example of building on a sure spiritual foundation. He trusted the Lord to guide him with all the many details of the work entrusted to him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10b and 11, it says, "Each of you must be careful how you build, for God has already placed Jesus Christ as the one and only foundation, and no other foundation can be laid. Let us all seek in ongoing prayer, fasting and dedication what Christ has called us to do in his power for his service." The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus.